Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Cyberpunk Lorecast, where we brave scanning the net to find all the deep history and lore of cyberpunk.
I'm Toasty, a fixer that's new to Night City with a desire to jump into the details of this gritty setting.
And I'm Genesis, an old school media tech with a love of character deep dives.
Together, we will bring you the foundations of the past, the state of Night City today, and the news of the future.
We've got incoming. Let's Delta.
Welcome back, Chooms, to another episode of the Cyberpunk Lorecast. I'm your girl, Genesis, and with me, as always, is Toasty. So, oh, go for it.
I was just going to say hello. That's it. That's all I was going to do.
What happened to our mojo, dude? Where are we?
It's not the normal recording time, so it's weird.
That might have a lot to do with it. Okay. I think we can. We can find our alchemy. We'll be good. Hey, hi there. This is post-pod recording Genesis here to say that there is a literal blizzard ice storm going on outside of my house at the time of recording, and even still now, several hours later after editing. I really did try and get rid of a lot of the sound, but unfortunately, it's just where my setup is really, really noisy for outside sounds. So if you hear tapping, scratching, or it sounds like somebody is struggling to open a bag of chips in the background, I swear it's just ice pellets hitting my window all day long.
I wanted to talk about the fact that I have named this special Toasty run that I'm doing now, because I have made her look quite like you. I even got a special hairstyle modded in. That's your specific ombre right now. I just need to get to the right clothing shop so that way I can get your glasses. And then we'll be set. But I've named this my Toast V run.
Yep. I can't take myself seriously whenever I'm looking at it.
So Toast V is having a lot of fun right now. She's still running around with Jackie. I've been taking this playthrough a little slower than what I normally do, but I'll keep you updated on how she's doing.
What level is she?
Still pretty low. I've barely gotten out of, like, I've gotten to the point where now Jackie's, like, we just got out of the apartment for the first time. I'm going to go meet with Jackie before Dexter.
Okay. So yeah. I was just wondering if, like, if you've had any, like, chance to, like, get into, like, the key levels yet or the key abilities for the build.
No, I've started it, though, and I've put all of the stuff that I had available into Cool and Reflex so far. So, okay. I'm going to be very, very strict on myself and make sure that I am playing my resolution. I am going to actually play the way that you do.
All right. Well, I guess enough about Toast V.
And get back to actual Toasty
in your playthrough?
I guess so. I was like, technically, yeah, that's correct. So last week we talked about Songbird's Path, which is, I don't know, and inaccurately named because it's Somi's Path, but whatever. And today we are talking about Reed's Path. So if you choose to side with Reed and betray Somi, where it goes from there. Which there's significantly more to it than the other one. So there's a lot to talk about. But last we left off on that one in particular was we escaped Kurt's stronghold. And I guess it wasn't a stronghold. It was just that one area. We escaped. Somi became Songbird and went fucking crazy on the Black Wall, fucked us up. Alex got moided by Kurt, and we have to get the hell out of here. Go through the path the same way that you do with Somi, just without the help of her like hacking. But then you get to the end, and you have to fight Kurt Hansen. And after that, after you kill him, you get out. Reed picks you up, swoops in his Black Thornton Merrimack, which I realized how, like, I was thinking about making a D&D character with that name, which is weird. Like Thornton Merrimack, because it sounds like a name that I could use. I don't know why.
I mean, it's a good name.
I was like, it sounds like a fucking, like a metal-ass name, I'm not gonna lie. But he picks us up. And we drive out onto a cliff to watch as Songbird gets taken by Max Tank. So now we gotta save her from Max Tank. And do some dumb shit, as I wrote in my notes. So you check out with Reed. He basically says you gotta get the Netrunner so we can get information on what they're gonna do with her. And this is actually like kind of a sort of what, like, ultimately, you're going to get the same result out of this, but it is interesting. You have so many options here for what you can do. One of the prompts is that you can call Mr. Hands, and you pay him like 15,000 Eddie, and he just takes care of it for you, which is relatively successful. It's nothing crazy or whatever. But you can also, if you so choose, contact any of your other Netrunner pals that you've met throughout your playthrough or whatnot. I don't know all of them, but me in particular, for my run, I chose Nyx.
I think I did too. In fact, I think that I actually had like unique dialogue about this going like, why can't I be the Netrunner? Because that's mm-hmm. the main play style that I had. And they were like, well, you can't do both. You can't be the focused Netrunner and then also be boots on the ground gunning. And I'm like, that's valid.
Yeah. And so I called Nyx. And I believe he is actually the best option that you can pick as far as your resources. Which makes sense. He's Rogue's Netrunner, so he's obviously going to be pretty fucking good. But he agrees. We tell him what's up. He agrees, though he basically says, this is fucking stupid. What are you doing? But he does owe us from helping him in the past. He was involved with the Bartmoss quest. We have a quest for him. I think it leads us on the Bartmoss route, but maybe not.
Yeah.
Okay. And he says, meet me at the Arasaka Memorial in 6 hours. I thought that was odd. I was like, okay, that's quite the place to meet up. Ominous as hell. So we do. We hook up with them, and he gives us the information, but he also makes sure to, it's very like real, it's actually really ominous because you ask him like, you know, this is such a weird place to meet. Why are we meeting here? And he says, oh, I just like to come here, you know, as a reminder of friends who went way in over their head before. And it's like, oh, okay, so that's a pointed ass statement towards us. We're going in way over our head. But you can basically tell him, like, hey, like, it's fine. I got it. I'm not alone. I have help. He, you know, he doesn't know that you're working with the FIA. So you have some good help, but you leave him and send the details to Reed. And you meet up with him at the spot. I don't know if there's supposed to be a delay here, because he does say, I need some time to look over the information. But I got it within like 3 seconds. After, like, I like got the information, the text that was like, I need to look over this. And then I think I did the talk with Johnny by the memorial, which isn't much other than, like, you know, him basically like giving a shit for MaxTac. And I think he talks a little bit about being at Arasaka, like ground zero for what he did a long time ago. You look like you want to say something, Jen?
Yeah, no, because you were like, you know, I went with Nyx and I didn't remember who the other options were. I looked it up really quick. And I think that I actually went with paying Mr. Hands, because I remember sending Hands the coordinates of the upcoming ambush that we're about to talk about. And looking at the other ones, Sandra Dorset, like, these are some really negative things that can happen to these people if we choose them. Which is crazy.
Sandra Dorset is the scab person we rescue in the very first, in the tutorial mission. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, what happens? Like, was there, because it seems like there, I've heard that there are differences depending on who you pick.
Mm-hmm. So, if you go with Nyx, they give you a frontal cortex implant to aid you in your fight. Sandra Dorset requests that you install a Trojan virus in MaxTac in return. And she'll give you the packet 8 hours after. So Nyx is the quickest at 6, then Sandra at 8. The third option is Chan Hoon Nam, who is the netrunner that works for Wakako. And when you go and get that first, like, tattoo tiger claw handpiece, mm-hmm. you go and get it from her. But unfortunately, it crashes her brain, and she suffers from aphasia after hacking them and has to leave Night City.
Damn. Yeah, I'd heard that, like, she was not a good option.
And neither is Carol Amika. And Carol is the nomad that works with Pan Am. The one that helps you net run during her quest line, but she refuses. But she will send you either a weapon or a quick hack to help you, but refuses to get the data for you. So you have to go with somebody else.
Okay, I mean, that's cool. I respect it. I respect the refusal there. That's kind of a big thing, and you know, there's a whole big thing about, like, not getting the family in danger,
right?
So. It's fair enough. It sounds like Nyx is the, like, strongest option. I think Mr. Hands, in that case, he just gets you the information, but that's it. You don't get any, like, benefit from doing it.
It takes 10 hours to do, so it's a little bit shorter than going with the Chan Hoon, but mm-hmm. yeah, he doesn't do anything additional for you.
Okay. Well, we meet up with Reed, which is, I think, specifically, like, the road going from Pacifica to, like, is that into Dogtown, or is it just out? Like, it's just kind of like a, I can't remember what road that was specifically. I think it is the one into Pacifica. I think I went over it to, like, from Corpo Center to Pacifica. And you go upstairs. Johnny gives a shit for trying to take on MaxTac, including accusing us of trying to one-up him, and tells us that we're going to need some luck, and tops it off with a gun to the head gesture. as he says it. So he's pretty much telling us that this is suicide. But it's fine. We're V. We got this. You can you go and Reed is talking to, I guess, a Sixth Street, like a smaller Sixth Street gang leader, who does not like any of this. He does seem to be a little reassured when he recognizes who we are and sees that we're involved. But still, he's pretty grumpy about it, which, fair. Literally, this is the one thing everyone talks about not fucking with. Dogtown doesn't like when cyber psychos run rampant that they allow the NCPD to send in any kind of task force. So, yeah, they're scary. Reed tells us that there's multiple risks involved with this, including the fact that the Psycho Squad are essentially like cyber psychos themselves, which is backed up by the, I can never remember her damn name, but the one from like one of the earlier intros or whatever, the one who's part of Psycho Squad.
Mm-hmm.
I can never remember her name, but I always remember that she's like a, like she was a cyber psycho that they picked up and like reprogrammed or like reeducated somehow in order to like get her.
Melissa Rory.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. We can get the details on the ambush from the Sixth Street guy running the drone. You can actually choose to not do these and just let them set up all the stuff themselves. The first time I went through it, and like you just go around and they're like, how do you want to, do you want to set up mines or turrets? And then do you want to use smoke or not in the ambush, which is like nothing significant, really. Neither of these things are going to make much of a difference.
No, but it leads to your play style and what you want to do. I think it, the most important thing is where you want to start the mission, because you've got three positions your V can be waiting for, from a sniper position, yeah, from a middle position, or right there on the ground.
Yeah, so the first time I did it, I was on the ground just because I'm, you know, melee person. Like, I was like, it makes most sense. This time I just started from like, it wasn't the sniper position, but it's kind of like the middle position on up on like the rails, because it was like there's stairs right there, and like I just jumped down and like do some dashes to like get to the bad guys anyway. So it doesn't really matter.
I started at the middle position also, so that way I could do like my pre-net running and like contagion and overheats and stuff like that, and then I would be right there to go in and clean up with the shotgun.
Yeah. So this second time I did it, I just ignored it. Like, I was just like, you guys do what you want, and then just went over to my position. You get a last chance to talk to Reed about the setup. Bro is going through it. He doesn't want to talk about it though, but you can like force him to like open up a bit. And essentially he's just got a lot of like self-blame going on. Like he's considering all this to be his fault, because I mean, he sees himself as like a protector and he failed to do that. Which, again, dude, your whole mentality is the reason we're in this mess for the most part, and we'll get even more into that later. But after that, I did another shout out to the fucking like the mocap and like the performance here done by Idris Elba, because like he's like, he does like, I think like, you know, like wipes his face. He has like a very like stiff posture, and then like you can kind of like get him to like, you know, like, hey, fucking talk to me, damn it. And he'll even like, he like punches the wall and like hangs his head. It's like, it's very good like mocap performance here. Which, you know, we talked about that, but it's like, it's just, it is easy to like get distracted by how much he's putting into it, like physically. So I really appreciate that. It makes it feel more authentic. But anyways, it is time to ambush MaxTac, because we're fucking crazy. So we set up in our spot. It like we get the wait screen that like skips us, you know, our glitchy like time skip. And a songbird connects to us through the relic, seemingly by mistake from the sounds of it, because she didn't want to talk to us. She seemed like confused that it was us for a second, and then tells us like I trusted you, but you betrayed me. Stay out of my way. Like, yeah, it's a little odd. It's, you can see that like her mind is like kind of fracturing a bit between the black wall and herself. And is some things are happening without her expressed like will behind them.
Right, because every other time it seemed like she's wanted to reach out and contact, so it was a conscious decision of, you know, contact V. This time it just seemed like her brain was open, her mind was open and was running on its own. And that's how we got connected. I felt bad.
Yeah. So the ambush or the trap springs into place. You know, they release the car to like drive into the head car, which causes like a pile up, bunch of rando cops and bots, get out. And like we clean them up real easy. They're just like standard dudes, nothing real like crazy about them. We clean them up. We're told to go check on the truck or check on Somi. So we go to like the back of like the armored transport, to open up the door and get blasted back by Psycho Squad. So, the unit of four, with like essentially like they have their Netrunner. They seem like that they just have like kind of like a more standard like gunner type. The Melissa Rory type, the one with the mantis blades, who's more like darting around and like trying to like come at us. And then the real big, like tanky dude, who's, pretty slow, but like soaks a lot of hits. And it might seem like this is going to be a really, really hard fight, but it's not really. So Reed basically like put, I don't know what he's doing exactly. But basically he gets like a laser sight on like a specific target, and he tells you to focus like who he is like targeting. And whatever he's doing seems to like suppress their cyberware and abilities, and like also kind of like daze them for a bit. Like they just kind of like stand in place and they're like holding their head like they're confused. And like straight up, like I turn on my Sandy and toss like a gazillion knives into their head, and they're dead before the timer runs out. and then it's just move on to the next fucking person. And like maybe if Reed, because otherwise, if you try to attack them and he's not targeting them, to be fair, it's incredibly hard to hit them. They don't take any damage because like you have one health bar and that's the person you're supposed to be targeting. And like, so really all you can do is best you can hope to do is disrupt the Netrunner hacks through the person that they're channeling them through. That's pretty much the best you can accomplish there. Otherwise they take like basically no damage. I think maybe this might've been, and like, I get that it'd be dumb. Like it doesn't make sense. Like the way he ordered the people makes the most sense on like who you should kill first. It might've been a much harder fight if the Netrunner wasn't the first target. Like maybe if the Netrunner had gotten out and like had found like a vantage point or a hiding spot that they could like hack from, but like he didn't have sights on. Yeah, like, that could have been cool.
Yeah, but it did seem pretty easy and a pretty quick fight, and I kind of expected a little bit more because I know that. I mean, I can stand toe-to-toe with Maxtac for a little bit if I get my warranty rating up that high. But I was expecting this to be a lot more difficult.
Yeah, I think, like, or maybe just, like, even like we have to like tangle with them like at full power for a little bit until we like take out like the Netrunner or something, like that could have been cool. But yeah, as long like he just nerfs the one target into the ground and they die like super quick, so nothing too crazy. Like their smart bullets can kind of be a pain a little bit if you like just let yourself be like standing in front of the person shooting them, but like otherwise, yeah. But we fuck them up, beat Psycho Squad. We go check on Songbird, but she sends out this fucking like black wall shockwave that fucks us up, and then drives off, slams through like, I guess, a support or something, and like collapses slash blows up a bit of the bridge that like Reed was on. So he gets extremely injured, some shrapnel in his leg, and basically tells us like, you know, go on without me, you know, stop her, whatever, he'll catch up. So we can follow her like trail. She leaves black wall residue, and like there's like the way cars are like lined up in a weird way, so they're just gonna like push you in the right direction. So it's weird, there's like blockades on the road of just random civilians. I don't know if that was like a setup from the ambush in case they got through the initial point or something. I'm not sure. It seems a little easy weird
to follow.
Yeah. We come to a hole in the wall of a building that she rammed through. And you can like look down and see the like flaming truck at the bottom, and essentially just have to descend the like railings and stuff down until we get into some water to swim through some tunnels, navigate ourselves until we make it to quote the abyss, which is a giant drop off into like water below, which is very much the like no turning back point. Like you cannot get up from here easily, or sorry, at all. And Johnny stops us there and he's like, you know, ready to take the plunge. There's no turning back if you jump. But we do, because that's what the quest requires of us. And make our way to the Cynosure mainframe.
Yeah. No, don't want to. No.
And well, we're getting there anyways. But we plug into the Cynosure mainframe and we get a bit of like information from like Reed and V like simultaneously like talking about stuff. And then a little bit more from Songbird after she like when she like fucking takes over the screens and shit. But essentially Cynosure was a special facility funded by Militech, though specifically their way of combating the Soul Killer. They were doing research into Soul Killer and how they could negate it or like suppress it entirely. And that's all of this. And it's super secret, and we'll find out just how fucked it is as we go down. So, but essentially we get blackballed again. It just keeps happening. And Songbird kills Reed's connection. So we cannot talk to him anymore. She cut that off. And she essentially like gives us a little bit of like, I don't want to say a monologue, but kind of a monologue that leads us to see that she's being corrupted and taken over, and that the goal here is to link up with something down here that will give her a permanent link to the Black Wall. It's bad.
Very bad. Very, very, very bad.
Yeah. But we got to keep going. We got to stop her. We make it over to this big, scary lift, which we're in like the the fucking trailers for Phantom Liberty. It's crazy that it's like, this is the point where that comes into play, because it seemed like such a like pointed thing in the trailer. And we go down the lift. Johnny's like kind of like freaking out over this as well. And then eventually, as we get closer to the bottom, she cuts him off. And stops the lift. We come down and we just hear her voice over the intercom, informing us, no Reed, no Silverhand, you're all alone. And we are.
So in the game, there's no way to tell when Johnny's there and when he's not. He's just this always present feeling. I don't know. I kind of expect him to always just kind of pop up whenever I get into an elevator, or to show up standing in a corner or flicking a cigarette off of a balcony. Like, that's... But going through this whole thing without Johnny makes it so much scarier.
Yeah, we're going to do the rest of this expansion without Johnny. Like, the main storyline of it anyways.
Okay, so before we head into our mid-break, I want to go over a couple little facts here, because I took some screenshots as well. I actually didn't take a lot from this section, mainly because I was so freaking focused on the storyline. But the Johnny Terrorist line, I did get that one. He said, "Bustin' into Arasaka Tower, it ain't, but it's up there somewhere. Trying to knock me off the arch terrorist pedestal." So, thought that was pretty good. And then after you've beaten Max Tech and everything, and you talk to Johnny again, he said, "Chick's a half brain dead, half AI controlled zombie. Yet still the gonks convinced his old partner's trapped inside. That only he can save her." And I'm just like, oh, yeah, that's what Reed thinks, is that he's the one. He can reach her. He can get to her.
Yeah. Misguided fool.
And I also found out that if you call Hans and you pay him to have his Netrunner do it, and then you send him the coordinates of what is of where the ambush is going to happen, you do get a reward, but it's not until later. You get access to the Max Tack Mantis Blades as a reward.
Okay. I think that those are good, but I think you can acquire those elsewhere.
Okay.
So they're not like, it's not like a super unique item, because I think there's like, I think they're like the gold ones you can find in that one cyber psycho area.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In the Corpo Center.
Yeah.
I think they're the same ones.
That makes sense. And then you also talked about the Sixth Street ganger who likes you. He can also not like you. It depends on what you did with the Sixth Street gang, where you go run around and do the shooting mission, where it's like, okay, you play the game. If you say fuck all that and just kill everybody, this dude hates you.
Oh. Oh, well, I mean, I didn't see any reason to kill all of them just for a game, so.
Yeah. So. That's just a fun little fact that's in there. Also, the name of this quest is taken from a Public Enemy song, also having the same name of Black Steel in the Hour of Chaos.
Yeah. That, like, I guess we didn't say specifically the points where these change. Like, when the moment we beat the Psycho Squad and, like, Songbird, like, heads off in the truck, I believe it transitions to the somewhat damaged. So, but yeah. So I didn't make the distinct cutoff point there, but there's a lot to, once we get in here,
And everyone else is gone, so.
All right. And before we talk a little bit more fun facts about that, we'll go to the mid-break first. Welcome to the middle of the show, where we talk about the show and not the lore of Cyberpunk. I don't know if we read out this name last week, but I'll say it here again for you. Bonnie, welcome in. Thank you so much for joining the Patreon. We appreciate you all so very much. And that is a huge shout out to all 14 of our patrons. Thanks, Chooms. We also do have a new review to read out. 5 stars left on Apple Podcasts from Rab the Hun out in Great Britain. So Rab the Hun says, 5 stars, the comprehensive world of Cyberpunk all in one space. A fantastic podcast from Robots Radio. Extensive knowledge and insight into the world of Cyberpunk and the origins of such an incredible world, delivered at a great pace with clarity and confidence in this game. It's a magical game further brought to life by this quality show. So Rab the Hun, thank you so much for supporting the Robots Radio Network and all of its hosts and shows. Greatly appreciate your kind words. Game truly is magical, and we hope that we are bringing it to life for you through audio format. Now, if you play the Cyberpunk TTRPG, then your DM owes you 10 IP per Jay Gray. We don't make the rules, but Jay literally does, so go cash him in. If you can always support the show by giving us that love, either giving us a rating on Spotify, leaving a comment, dropping a rating on iTunes, or leaving us a review on there. We are also available on Audible and I think like every single podcatcher out there. So no matter where you're at, leave us a 5-star rating, drop us a comment or review, and we will read it out on the show. Got anything to add to the middle? All right, then let's get back into it. And now we will talk about the somewhat damaged questline. Now, this song is a quest name taken from the Nine Inch Nails song. I think we need to listen to it. I know a lot of their music. I just suck at song names.
Well, anyways, we are now in a super creepy underground vault thing, bunker, I don't know what you would call this, which to point out, we are very deep underground at this point because we not only went like in the building that was at like ground level, it went down, like we followed like trails and like water tunnels down, and then we got to this place and then we took the lift down even further. We are super underground at this point. Which I guess just also like builds into the fact that this was like a super secret project that Militech didn't want anyone to know about. But we continue to sneak through some vents. There is black wall residue, is what I'm going to call it, all over the fucking place, which is messing with things, moving things around, making them like move on their own accord. Like the first part is whenever we go down this tunnel, is that like this like little like car, like this train, like small train car thing, like travels up the tunnel towards us, very slowly, ominous. And we get to the big door, and then there's just a fucking slam against it. The horror aspects are starting to build here. And I replayed through this shit today and I forgot how much I fucking hate it. Anyways. Yeah.
Sorry.
It's fine. We can't go through the big door. It's fucked up. We have to go around, go through some vents until we fall through, into a room. And we hear a conversation between Somi and Kurt. And you can like open the door, step out, and you can see a vision of this happening. And it seems like Kurt was the one who fired the missile at Space Force One. Somi didn't want him to do that, but he basically says, like, well, like, I'm making the decisions here from now on, and if you want to, if you don't want bad shit to happen, or any more bad shit to happen, you need to give me that information in the I guess that Sinosure database thing that I can't remember what they called it. But from before, we stole the Neuromatrix out of it. So we starting to see these like visions of like memories for Somi. And you can kind of ask aloud, and she, and I guess, I don't know if it's through the intercom she can hear you, or if like this is the relic. Your HUD is kind of like super limited in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Like it disappears.
Yep.
Which makes it even more terrifying. So we're not entirely sure. We don't have the relic icon that says like her name at the top. It's just like, I assume it is her speaking through the relic though. And she says basically like, it's ironic how the one that I trusted, who then betrayed me, is my one witness. That's not a direct quote. I don't know if I got any of these quotes exactly correct, but close enough. Yeah. So we're going to bear witness to her life story here as we go through here. So we go through this area and we can look down the hall and see her silhouette, like shrouded by a bunch of light going through this like vault door. We chase her down. But as we get close, the door slams shut, knocking us back. And she tells us that's far enough. And that she's like trying to like protect us. And it does seem a little strange that like what's going on here between that, like, you know, it seems like she is super mad at us, but she's still trying to like keep us out of trouble. So we try to hack through this, the terminal by the door, which, you know, falls down as the door closes. And it tells us we have to like bypass some other terminals, starting with the ones in the server room. We head over there. We can easily hack one. Just a little, it's the little net running mini game that you got to do, nothing crazy. And then it opens up a tunnel into, that will lead you into the one where the Bravo terminal is, since we just did Alpha. And you go into the other one. I don't know what this point is. I think it's when we're hacking the Alpha terminal, but she does talk about how she can only hold them off a little bit longer. Them. We don't know who them is. But we'll find out. We'll fucking find out, that's for sure. So we go over to Bravo. It locks us out and gives us this stream of text over and over again. This is the end of the line. This is the end of the line. This is the end of the line. And then we like, I don't know if it's a specific amount or like a percentage or whatnot, but like this shit knocked me down to like a sliver. Yeah. Take a ton of fucking damage. Like, I think it's supposed to knock you down to like maybe like 5% of your health.
Yeah. So it knocks you down and it makes a lot of your body stop working. A lot of your skill sets no longer work. It sucks balls. It also makes your sandy stop working and malfunction. In addition to not increasing your reaction speed anymore, it will actually start to bleed your health out roughly 5 points every 2 seconds, which is really bad considering how hurt you already are. So, big hint, don't use your sandy.
I don't even think I tried to because it just doesn't come up here. It's like sandy's for killing people. They can't kill anything here. So we have to figure out a way to like bypass this terminal, still.
You can kind of do a scan, and V has the thought of like, well, maybe what if we check under here? So you can crawl under the thing and unplug the cable, and you start to hear a lot of really loud noises after you do so. And you try to like, you like scramble out from under it, and this vent falls, and this giant fucking spider robot thing descends from the ceiling towards you. And we begin the game of Alien Isolation.
Yeah. All right. So this is Cerberus. And Cerberus is a very, very unique enemy because it is untouchable. It is immune to any form of damage as well as quick hacks. You can't do shit to this thing.
Yeah, and if it gets close enough to you, you die. It just kills you.
Straight up.
In an animation, you have multiple animations that it can like affect on you. Luckily today I was playing a lot more carefully, so I didn't have any of my really crazy moments, but I'll like talk about some of them, the really ones. Essentially the premise here is that you have to bypass the Sierra and Victor terminals. And there is also a like side objective where you can hack the power control to give you access to a special room where you get a special item called the Erebus that you can use later to like make into a fancy thing. Which this one, the Erebus room isn't anything crazy. You just get a bunch of like, what are they called? Components and shit. And you can kind of like get a little bit of like research on like the Cerberus units, because there's some like prefab ones in here. But nothing really too crazy here. But as you're doing it, you have to avoid this thing, like the plague. This thing is hunting you. It stalks around on the ground, and it can also go up into vents. There's special vents that are indicated by yellow, like four corners of yellow light, scattered like around the place on the ceiling. If it starts to flash red, that means that it is coming out of it. You need to fucking go or hide or something. And there is specifically like game code written into it to where anytime you initially like try to go to one of the rooms you need to get to and mess with one of the terminals, this thing will very swiftly make its way. It has intelligence to it that knows when you're fucking with stuff. Mm-hmm. And you have to be careful because typically you need to hide prior to messing with any of the terminals you're supposed to bypass, because once you jack into the terminal, you're stuck there, and this thing can basically come up behind you and like impale you with its fucking rotating scary stabby claw. It's got hands like the fucking Omnidroid from The Incredibles. I mean, that's really what I recently rewatched The Incredibles, so that's just the thing that comes to mind. But It's not fun. There are some things you can do. The optical camo is very useful here, as well as the like. There's the skill that like activates optical camo when you're like crouch sprinting or dashing. Mm-hmm. That will help you because like the camo does actually shroud you from it a little bit, enough for you to like, if you're in a real tight spot, anyways. But you know. Don't fucking just try to like sneak in front of its face for the most part. Yeah. I remember the worst part of this, from what I remember, was when, and it's a bit later, it's after bypassing the terminals. But I thought I was hiding from the thing. It was like going through, I had to like stand behind a pillar essentially. And I peeked out at it, and I guess I broke the line of sight portion of the pillar, it wasn't the room where it's hunting you, it was like a different spot, but like it's still I guess I broke line of sight
This thing can cross a room in an instant.
On its creepy little spider legs.
I didn't get a chance to see its spider legs in action on this one. I don't know if you got this particular animation. This thing saw me and literally, like, snap instant, was in my face and had impaled me and was, like, raising me. And all I could see was, like, the fucking, like, glitchy eye. Like, straight up, it was like a jump scare. I fell out of my chair because it was so sudden. I wasn't expecting, because it was straight up like just bam. Like, it was like right there. And it was like, oh.
I don't know if I got that one. That sounds way more terrifying.
It was fucking awful because I thought it was hidden. I was like, I'm behind a pillar. I'm good. And it was just like, I see you. Bam. And I was like, oh. I had to like take a breather. This thing fucked me up. I don't do horror. Today I didn't die a single fucking time. Because I was playing super fucking careful and I was like, I can't do this. I can't fucking do this today. I can't. But anyways, the main point of this, as we're doing this little side thing to get this gate open, is that we see little visions of Somi, like memories of her life as we're going through it. So, and the first one we see after like the Kurt and her one is her going in for surgery. She's like, they're like putting her under, and she looks relatively like normal, like how she presents herself in her relic form. And like, we can assume here, this is her going in for the surgery, like that will end up changing her to how she looks now. We do then see her a little bit later, the post-surgery. She has like, she's been completely cybered out how she is now. We assume that this is like Noosa's doing, when she joined up with the FIA, that they did this to her. And she has like her fully cybered out body, and she's kind of like just like feeling the back of her head, like in surprise, as what it is. And this whole sequence also shows us the difference. This is like the big difference moment, like between Somi and Songbird, because Somi throughout this is trying to help us. She warns us when the thing is coming. She tells us like to hide. She's trying to warn us not to get its attention. But Songbird has taken over the Cerberus and is using it to hunt us. And we get like really creepy dialogue throughout this process of like Songbird asking questions or like saying things and Somi responding and Songbird responding again. And you can kind of like, if you like listen while they're like, while it's talking, we can see that, we can hear the difference.
So creepy.
Yeah. I wrote it down later, but I think I'll just say it right now, because it can be said like at any point or whatever. The one in particular that always got me is the, you seek answers here, but ask the wrong questions. That's Songbird. And Somi responds, just like me. And then Songbird responds with, is that why you ultimately lose everyone you care about?
Yeah.
It's rough. But this is like I said, we said this last week, like this, you don't get to learn about Somi / Songbird as much as you do as taking this path. Like, you're going to learn so much about her, by the end of this. But eventually we bypass the terminals, open the gate, and fucking run. You get to the gate and this thing is chasing you. You gotta go. And it's fucking real scary, because like you have to dart into a little room, and like, it's not, you've been opening doors thus far, by just like clicking on the door. Like, you know, if you're playing on PC, you're just pressing F, opening the door. These ones in particular, you have to hit the panel. So you have to look to the little tiny ass fucking panel, active, like press the button, and then jump in there and then press a different button to like try to cycle the airlock and close the door behind you. Where it like, it gets its arm in there and it's like trying to like reach around, which by the way, don't stand too close to the arm. It can kill you through the door.
I think I died once in this area because I didn't make it down the hallway fast enough. And then I was expecting it to be like hit it in the middle of the door like always, and then didn't realize I needed to hit the panel. Yeah, I think I died at least once, if not twice, in this little area.
I died once the first time I did it because I got killed through the door.
Mm.
I was too close to the initial door and like the claw got me.
The claw.
I hated that. Yeah, the claw. You know, if you just want to like have like a chill time playing this or whatever, don't read the terminals. I don't know if you've read these terminals. I did my first go through, but today I did them and I'm fucking terrified of them. It was like there's a couple different terminals that have like you open it up and it has like transmission one and it's like whatever, and it's like a bunch of like scrawled text or whatever with like a little bit of a message that you can decipher in it, or maybe like a couple or whatever, but then it glitches and makes a transmission two, and then it glitches and makes transmission three, so something actively knows you're on this terminal and is like trying to talk to you. And this first one, the first transmission said their nervous systems with a bunch of things. Then the second one loaded in are so weak, so rudimentary, so fragile. Then the third one loaded in easy to break. They won't see it coming. Cool. I didn't like this at all. I was like, oh, this is fuck. Okay, yeah, fuck me, I guess. But anyways, we go through, you know, another airlock, and we see the next vision was just Somi taking the oath for the FIA in front of President Myers. So we're, you know, seeing the moment she's inducted, and, like, this is also kind of showing us a little bit of the, like, with Myers and like the face that she shows to people versus the face that like, or like her true self, because she's like does like very much greet Somi in this very like motherly kind of way. You know, she comes around and like she doesn't give her a hug, but like she like, you know, like gives her like, you know, that like comforting like arm like hold squeeze thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, like she's like manipulating her by like showing her this, that, you know, Somi's eventually going to see the lie that this is. But we get through here and we make it to the like control room for the core. And Somi begs you to turn it off and she sounds super weak and like broken here. Fucking, I can't, like, shout out to the voice actress on this because god damn, was the performance so good. Probably better in this path than it was in the first one, or in the her path. I could feel myself like welling up again. I think I cried in the first time I did this. But anyways, you get basically told you have another like little like side quest to do in order to like access where she's at. You have to like take care of like the thermals, the database, like the personal link backup, and like the memory bank or something like that. But you can also read like these terminals around here and you can get like the story of Cynosure. This fucked up. Like, this is some fucked up stuff. This first one that's in the same room, there is one particular one And it talks about like things that have been happening as people have been doing these, like working on this. And it says previous experiments led to the Netrunners experiencing melancholy, increased introvertedness, memory loss, mild aphasia, and depressive thoughts bordering on suicide. And there's a response to it that essentially says, like, these are all within like our acceptable parameters, and to ensure that they continue working on the project through any means necessary, including pharmacological, if needed. Meaning, drug them the fuck up and put them in if you have to.
Yeah.
And there was another one talking about, like, they had, like, this horrible malfunction that led to something, like, really bad happening that doesn't get said. It's them addressing it and saying, like, you know, this is, like, this was blown out of proportion. Like, everything's all right. No need to worry about it. But also, like, if anybody does talk about it, there will be, like, extreme consequences. And so, like, they're sweeping everything under the rug, and they're also not letting anyone talk about it.
And they're going to probably give you drugs to make you forget.
Probably, or they'll just put you back in the machine and you'll forget that way, too. Like, who fucking knows? It's rough. It's fucking rough. But we come out of this room so that we can go off to the other section to take care of those things we need to do. And we get a vision of Somi and Reed sitting on a bench. There's even like a tree next to them. So that shows that they're like outside somewhere, which also tree. You don't see those very often. And she asks him if he's ever had regrets about joining the FIA. And if he's ever broken a promise, and he says he hasn't had regrets and that he did once break a promise, but not since, and he doesn't plan on it. And she tells him that she'll hold him to that. He's going to break a couple promises today. Promise you that. Yeah, when we head into the lab, we can see there's a small vision of Somi having a breakdown. She's like pounding the glass and screaming. We don't know like what this is in connection to, but I'm assuming that through her, like her work, something bad happening. This thing is starting to hunt us again, the Cerberus. So we have to play this carefully. This is where I got the fucking like fucking scary ass jump scare. Like I said, it like straight up, like it knocked me back so hard I fell out of my chair onto my floor. It was rough. There is a little like side closet, which is probably the best like hiding spot in this corridor while you're taking care of stuff. I also point out this one is a lot more stressful because the hiding spots and things aren't as like easy to like jump into. Like in the other area, you could like jump up on a shelf and it couldn't like see you up there. You could hide in a little like, you know, vent, like a area that's supposed to drop into a vent, but the vent's closed. You can hide in there, and it just walks by you. Here, like if you go into the one where you have to unplug the cords, it comes into the room and you have to play Ring Around the Rosie with it going around the fucking like the terminal while it's just walking around the room.
Yeah.
Fucking so close quarters. You're literally so close to it. Oh, and to top it all off, I forgot to mention, every time it gets close to you, you get all black wall glitchy. Like it fucks with your like HUD, your like screen and vision gets all freaky. You can hear it whispering in your ear. It's bad. It's fucking terrifying. So you have to play a lot more careful here. There is a little closet that's the easiest hiding spot to get into, that it doesn't go into the closet at all. And there was a little terminal that I didn't find last time. And it is by like just some random person who was here. Her name was Lisa Smith. And they were asking her questions. Like she's just talking about like, they're just asking her questions about stuff. And like any, they asked like, you know, what memory is evoked with the smell of like freshly made coffee? It was just like a random question or whatever that apparently they asked a lot. And she realized as they asked that question, she forgot what coffee tasted like, and it terrified her. And that's from her like prolonged exposure on this experiment, like having to jack in and do what they're like, because they're fucking with the black wall.
Right.
Like, and so like all of this stuff is like causing these like horrible symptoms, which I would argue the worst being the memory loss. Mm-hmm. Just, and like, yeah, sure, that's not a big memory, but like to wake up one day and realize like, this thing that you probably been consuming for the majority of your life, you just can't remember what it tastes like anymore.
Right. That's more scary than like a, okay, I don't remember what I ate for lunch yesterday. That memory means nothing to me, but I know that I have a cup of coffee every morning. I know what it tastes like. I know which coffees I prefer over other ones, or, oh, I put too much sugar in this cup. I know what coffee tastes like. And to think that that memory could just be gone from something that has happened quite literally thousands upon thousands of times in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. And like, yeah, just terrifying and sad. And like, you're getting the story of this place. Which, you know, we love good, like, environmental storytelling. Because, like, you could skip all these terminals. You wouldn't know just how bad this experiment was and the things that we're doing. The reason they're so far underground and hidden is because they had to hide this from both Arasaka and Netwatch. Because Netwatch gets on anyone who tries to fuck with the black wall. And they were actively doing that. So they weren't even... they were trying to harness AI from beyond the black wall, which you can find and there's a particular I can't remember where the code's at. I think I found it the first time, but I don't remember where it was at. From what I saw, it's like somewhere by a terminal. I just Googled the code for this. There is a specific locked room, the one that like Somi was banging against the glass on. You can go in there and you find a terminal that specifically, it's another one of the really spooky ones that like actively updates while you're on it. With the messages, are you here with me? Am I alone? So dark in here. We hear you. You're on the other side. Wait for us. Fuck off, please. Fuck off. So politely. But you can also find information here in this room. That basically there was talks about having AI supported cyberware, so having some sort of like certain cyberware people install and having AIs linked to it to like boost the effect, that then led them into like the thought process of what if we just bypass that entirely and just have cyberware purely run on AI, so that the person with it doesn't have to split their focus.
I mean, in theory, but that's not good.
It's the AI beyond the black wall.
Yeah.
It's very much not good.
Yeah.
So they were getting into some like real dangerous territory here. But eventually we get around, we do our little like objectives. One requires you to like crawl out onto like a catwalk and like bypass the power source. And as we're coming back in, we get another vision of Somi in like a net running chair, like screaming in pain. And Reed says like, it's okay, girl, I got you. And like, just fucking like unplugs her. Bro, don't you know fucking anything about net running? You do not just like unplug someone.
Don't rip the cord, damn it.
That's how you kill people, Reed. Oh my God, somebody should have given you a fucking briefing on like how net runners work if you're going to be working this close to one or something. I don't know. I get the sentiment, but like, I think that this might be one of the best like examples here, right? of like Reed's mindset of like he sees Thomi in pain and does the like tries to fix it without realizing how much damage he's actually doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's exactly what this is. Like, who knows what happened to her in the situation? We do know in the Cyberpunk Red tabletop, if you unsafely jack out of the net, you are subject to every black ice in the system. Even ones that you haven't, like, if you haven't delved far enough into the system to, like, find them, you still are subject to the effects of them, which can, like, be anything from taking, like, tons of, like, damaged, like, mental damage from the net, things that, like, fry your, like, particular quick hacks and stuff like that. Like, there's multiple different effects that happen. So, like, basing it off of that information that we have, like, you're basically subject to every security system, like, activating all at once, regardless of what you did. Even if you have bypassed and gone through the entire system and, like, defeated all of those things, if you don't safely jack out, you still are subject to all of it.
Yeah.
So, dude, bro. And it shows a consequence from it, because she wakes up, looks at him, doesn't know who the fuck he is. We assume they've been working together probably for a substantial amount of time at this point, but he jacked her out and she lost a memory or memories.
Again, waking up and not recognizing who's around you. It's not worth it.
Also, it helped. Like, it makes me notice how big of a man he is. It's like while he was doing it, because like he's like holding on to like her waist. Or whatever, one of his hands is like half her torso. It's like, bro, you're a big fucking dude. Like, goddamn.
Is he that big or is she that small?
She seems like a regular sized person. Like, whenever you're talking to her, like, she's like slightly shorter than you, but she's pretty much your size.
No, well, she's your size. She wasn't my size.
That's fair. But she's still the size of like an average woman.
True. Yeah.
He's a big dude. But yeah. But moving past that, you do have to like go into a room and hide from the fucking Cerberus while it's actively hunting you, and you can't leave the room. You're stuck in it. You just play a lot of Ring Around the Rosie around a pillar. It's just stressful, but it's not like anything too hard, really. But you finally get back to the core, and as you're going to like fucks with the terminal, the bot fucking comes down from the goddamn ceiling and crashes through the window, and like is upon you, and as like it's about to like basically stab you in the fucking brain with its claw, you are dropped into like a very intense, like fully consuming vision. And you see Somi, a very young Somi, asleep in her Netrunner chair while her friends sneak up on her to surprise her for her birthday. And this is the most heartbreaking part of the game, in my opinion. I'm so upset that they did this to us, because it's fucking, it's rough. But like, you see that, and you get to talk to Somi a bit while she's like, and then it's like the present one, and she's telling you like, you know, that we're in my apartment in Brooklyn. You can like look outside and see like the brownstones of Brooklyn. You can hear like kids playing and like the sounds of birds, which is just crazy to me. And like she event, like she's telling you about this and whatnot, and eventually goes over to like a mirror that is like all black qualified. Mm-hmm. And just talking about like how like this is, she doesn't have any like any path left anymore, because like we didn't help her when we had the chance to. So now she's just doomed to this.
And we'll watch, we get to watch like little montage sequences of like memories of like her hanging out with her friends, spending time with like her boyfriend at the time, like getting like her first like legit job, where she made like a ton of fucking money. Every memory that we are watching like gets stripped away. And as it like goes on, we see more and more of the black wall like consuming the apartment. Like everything she touches, like the Somi and the visions touches, creates a little pocket. And then like we can just watch as like the whole back half of the apartment is just being stripped away and gone until all that's left. And we do get to see how she got manipulated into joining the FIA.
Yeah.
Like Reed specifically showed up and essentially blackmailed her, saying like if you stay here, you're putting all of your friends in danger. Like, do you want that? Netwatch is going to come for you. So we assumed she did a job and got caught by Netwatch, in the process. And like eventually all that's left is you and her staring out the window, and the entire apartment behind you is gone. It is just the black wall. And she's just like done. She like her memories are just being like sapped from her, and you can comfort her in this situation. Like, you can give her a hug, which you're a monster if you don't. And like essentially like talk to her, like, you know, like say like, you know, I want to help you. And she does deliver the line that gets me every time, the fucking, she says that she's going to remember this memory and save it and know that for one last second, I'll know I wasn't alone. Fucking hate this game. And like basically she tells you like, you know, just help me one last time, and like her she's like glitched backwards and backwards until we come out of the vision. Cerberus has been deactivated, and we're able to like jump off onto the catwalk to get into the core. Reed calls us, we, you know, tell him like, give him a little bit of update. He says he's on his way, because the black wall, like communications, or like we're cutting off his communications. They came back on, and we head into the core, and unplug her from like the system and make the hardest decision ever.
This one. This one was rough.
Yeah. So essentially she wants you to help her die. She's got like her like body is failing. The black wall has consumed most of her mind. And if she gets back in like the FIA's hands, they're just going to like use her to get what they want, the experiment that they were so focused on that we found out in the other path. And like you can talk to her, there's options here, and like she's broken. Like the fucking voice, this is like the part where like I cried, because it's just like, like even today I felt like my eyes watering, because it's just like she's so defeated, and like she's begging you to kill her. Like begging you. She says she doesn't have the strength to do it on her own. And you ultimately make the choice whether you kill her and free her from this, or you keep her alive and turn her over. Both time, I mean, I played through all of the options. I can never do the one where I leave her alive again. I just can't.
So, and this will branch off depending on what you do. But I killed her. You unplug her from the thing, and it, like, I guess it was like keeping her on like a life support system that was keeping her alive. And she apologizes for everything she put you through as like her last words. And then she's gone. V is fucked up. Like, even the V acting here, because she like stares down at her hands that are shaking and then like falls back, like as if trying to get away from it. It's like, it's rough. And like Reed will show up depending on what you did. Depends on like how he reacts. And you move on to like the cutscene, or not the cutscenes, but like the post part. You get out of here and we were driving in his car. And I can't remember. You will have to remind me, because I just, like I said, I couldn't bring myself to do it again. So I don't remember as much of what he says. If you do decide like to kill her, he is upset with you. He believes that if it had been him there instead of V, he could have convinced her to live. Basically, he still believes that he's the one that could have saved her.
Yeah.
You get like pulled off to the side of the road. There's like NUSA helicopters and Aerodynes come in. You carry her over to the like gurney and put her down. And President Myers shows up. And you can decide how you want to like talk to Myers. I fucking hate this bitch. So I basically, I'm like, I'm not shaking your hand after everything.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. She tries to put the blame on you. And like you can, and like V's got some like hitters here, even though like you're throwing in on a person that's like has zero empathy here. Like she, it doesn't matter, but yeah. It is funny. It's like, there's specifically a line I noticed that like, I think Myers says like, you know that, right? And like, you can respond. Like, I think you can respond by saying like, you know, everything you did, like made her do is the reason she wanted to die. You know that, right? Like, you can hit her with the same like words she used, which I thought was neat. And like, she eventually thanks you for your service to the NUSA, and I told her to go fuck herself. And she leaves. Hate her. Hate this bitch. I do. If you went the other route and you do actually like leave Somi alive, she like congratulates you and she gives you a fucking medal.
Yeah.
Disgusting. And like one of her lines that like, she gives you is like, you know, like, if it was me, I would have chosen to live. You always choose to live. And like that can go into a whole big topic like that I'm not going to broach at this point, but like there's some things depend, like if you're living to just be a puppet for this organization and like you won't have anything left. Part of the description that Somi gives you as like a reason why is that like she's not even going to be present in herself anymore. She'll be an AI, but not a full AI and not a full human, wandering somewhere beyond the wall with no memories of who she was. Like, that's the fate she would be resigned to if she lives here. And it's not even living. She's like, she's not even there.
Yeah. She's gone. And it hurts so much more with what Reed says afterwards, after you're done talking to Myers, and Somi's taken away. He stands there in the desert. And he says, "You're going home, Somi. I'll be seeing you soon."
Yeah. I don't... It's so sad how misguided this man is. Like, it's if you killed her, like, he basically like
sits in the dirt. And this is also supposed to show you like a specific thing to show like where he's at. And it's regardless of which path you picked, like even with Somi living and he like quote unquote has a reason to like keep going, like is there still part of him that's fully empty? Because like he sits down in the dirt like nothing, and like V goes down to crouch, and there's specifically a dialogue option of like the sand's fucking hot, like it like burns V's hand as she goes to touch it, and it's supposed to show how numb he is that he doesn't even feel this. And like he will grab up the sand and like hold it and like let it drift out of his palm. He's messing with it actively, the thing that burned V's hands. And like you basically, he asks you like, hey, like, did I die? Or he's like, did she die with me being her friend or her enemy? And you can kind of choose how you want to like address this here. And like, it's, I just told him straight like how it was. I was like, look, dude, like you, in the end, you didn't understand. And like, you were her enemy because you weren't seeing what she needed. You only see what you need. And like, regardless of what you say, it still seems like you're trying to comfort him. And I was like, I wish there was an option to like, just be like, not, cause like, I'm tired of comforting him at this point because like he needs to realize how fucked up it is. But he goes walking off into the desert and he says, for the death path is, Somi, for all it's worth, I hope you're at peace.
Yeah. I think that's the only way, you know. I, there is no good choice. There are bad and worse.
Mm-hmm. This is a real fucking expansion. It's rough. There really is like, it just all sucks. This is all bad. It feels like, like I said, on the other path, at least Alex gets a happy ending. That's really the only happy ending in any of this. You get the end credits, you know, the Phantom Liberty song, Wires and Chains. You are in your apartment, like washing your face. Johnny, for some reason, like in a different look than I've remember seeing, which is a good look. I mean, I'm not complaining, but like, it was like a different look. Cause like I have him in the alternate version where he's like, he's got like, you know, the like the half open, like the suit. Uh-huh. But like, and then normally he's got his like, you know, his like regular like samurai jacket, whatever, pants and whatnot. This one, he's like got just the samurai tank top on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
but still a like the moments. Hat, the shaved side of the head. He showed up like that for me earlier, before the convoy.
Yeah, he did show up like that too. I remembered it. Like, I just remembered it now. There was that moment and then this moment, but everything else is like just the regular skin. It was just like odd in these moments that he's like appears like this. You talk to him about the aftermath. And you know, he's talking about like how alike he and Reed were. And like, he kind of has like a big, like moment of like realization of like who he is as a person. And eventually you get a call from Reed, meet up with him at the basketball court where you're met. Just so that he can tell you like, hey, V, you were right. You know, I was going about this wrong the whole time. And he's wondering about what his next path was, like next path in life is. Langley wants him to teach new agents from the sounds of it. But he's not sure exactly what he wants to do. I gave him my nomad option here, and that was to leave it all. Leave it all behind you, get in your car and drive. I'll even introduce you to some of my nomad friends. But you need to start over.
Oh. This one was rough. This going down the Betray Songbird pathway is really, really hard-hitting. And then to, quote, betray her a second time by forcing her to live is another rough path. And I think that we should definitely take some time next week to talk about the consequences of those actions. Because it definitely adds even more to it and what happens to V after all of that. I'm in a depressive state now. I need a hug. Maybe a bowl of ice cream.
Yeah. It's. I hated having to replay through this, but it needed to be done so I could have the best information in my brain.
Yeah. I send you virtual hugs.
Yep, same.
Yep. Welcome to Night City, the home of depression.
Yep.
And yet we love it. And we keep coming back every week to talk about it, and we will continue to do so. But I think this is a good spot for us to wrap it up.
Yep. Great expansion. I will just like clarify with that. Both the like so emotional, like despite like it threw all the pathways, and it really like makes you think and have to get into the head of like either yourself or your V and what you would do in this situation.
And oh yeah.
A story that can make you have to like stop and think, because I didn't say that part. I when I played through it the first time doing this one, I paused for like 20 minutes.
On which decision?
The one to kill her. And like I'm fully like set like in my heart now that like freeing her from like the torment that she would face, leaving her alive, like that, like killing her is the option to do in this situation. But like it just is still, I had to stop and be like, damn, like fuck.
Yeah. Reed gets to live, but Alex dies, and then Song dies. Or you can go down the path where Alex dies, and then Reed dies, and then Songbird gets to live.
But Alex lives.
Oh, that's right. Alex lives. Plan.
Alex gets to live if you betray Reed.
Ugh. It's too much, too rough, too good. Damn it. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it, the torture.
Yeah.
All right.
But that's our main story, Phantom Liberty, covered.
Yes. Next week, we'll come back and do a little bit more chatting about the final epilogue, because there's a lot that happens in this Reed Song Alive epilogue that it definitely needs its whole own segment. Mm-hmm. So come back and listen next week and follow us along on Twitter at CyberpunkLore and visit us on patreon.com/CyberpunkLoreCast. If you'd like more from me, you can listen in on the Two Girls, One Ship podcast, where we analyze, rate, and review all that the world of video game romances has to offer. And we have just started our Baldur's Gate 3 season. We'll be in Faerun for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. If you want more of me, you can check out the Witcher Lorecast, as well as the Cyberpunk Red Live Play podcast, Cyberpunk apostrophe D, that I do with the Fumbling Four and Almighty Crit Gang.
At the end of every show, we shout out Miracle of Sounds for allowing his music to be used. We use snips and clips from Neon Red, the instrumental remix. So go give him a listen. And while you're out there,
stay safe in Night City.
Ever wanted to be a content creator but had no clue where to begin? Come join me as I sit down with content creators that have already faced the challenges you're up against as they discuss the tips and tricks that help them be successful. Here on The Content Creator's Guide, available wherever podcasts can be found.